This is Jim Engster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and if you'd like to call, 877-217-5757. As we hear the sounds of Marvin Gaye wafting in the breeze, Raymond Jetson is about to hold court, 23 years pastor of Star Hill here in Baton Rouge, and a longtime state representative, as was his father, who he succeeded, Louis Jetson. But Ray Jetson, before we get to the politics and whether the president was chosen by a higher power to be our leader, what about Henry Gray?
Well, before I say Henry Gray, anytime I'm somewhere and the segment opens up with Marvin Gaye, I know I'm in the right place. So kudos to your producer. As I shared, I used to live on Beverly Drive, right off Government, right across from what was the Westmoreland Shopping Center for those who are of a different generation. And I would go to the Piccadillys often because that was a part of my childhood experience. But I went to Piccadilly, and as I shared, it didn't take long to realize that this was no just hangout in a restaurant hack at a piano, that there was something really, really special about this guy. And it was just absolutely wonderful. And he would be there often, just playing to bring joy to himself and the people who were there. And it was just a very special memory for me.
He was an amazing performer, and he lived here. And like many people, he was truly a prophet in his own land. Was not appreciated as much as he should have been.
He and a number of other just absolutely wonderful musicians who've come from here, and that's part of the tragedy of our legacy.
We're going to talk some politics with Raymond Jetson, who, of course, has a great legacy there. And he has been with us many times talking about his endeavor here in Baton Rouge, specifically related to young men of color and the metamorphosis. It's still going strong.
Things are going wonderfully strong, Jim. We are branching out into other areas and beginning to see powerful impact in our community. So it's exciting. We'd love to come back and share with you. We'll be doing our convening again in April around Black Boys and Men, and love to talk to you about that.
Let's make a date 2 months from now.
We'll do that.
Shane in Pass Christiane. Shane, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, this is Shannon Williford.
Yes, Shannon. I'm sorry.
And I'm one of the generation that came up in the late 70s and early 80s playing the blues at Tabby's Blues Box. And the highlight for many of us was playing with Henry Gray. And over the years, I've had a number of opportunities to play with Henry, as well as all the other great Baton Rouge blues guys. But Henry was really special in that he connected all the way back to the late 40s and into the 50s with the Chicago blues scene, and then came home to Baton Rouge and helped bring up the young generation in the 70s and 80s.
Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate your remembrance of the great Henry Gray. And not many people, as we know, live to be 95 years old, and very few continue to do what they love right up until almost the very end. He was still playing.
That's a great tribute.
Yeah. Played with Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, many others, and he knew all the great ones, and his career goes back several generations, and nominated for 6 Blues Music Awards, and a recipient of the 2006 National Heritage Fellowship by the National Endowment of the Arts, for the Arts, the nation's top honor for folk artists. 877-217-5757. We're going to segue from the incomparable Henry Gray to the verbose Rick Perry, former ag commissioner, former governor, former energy secretary, once ran for president, as we know, and he loves our president, Donald John Trump. In fact, thinks that God Almighty chose the Donald, the man from Gotham City, to be the leader of the free world.
God's used imperfect people all through history. King David wasn't perfect. Saul wasn't perfect. Solomon wasn't perfect. And I actually gave the president a little one-pager on those Old Testament kings about a month ago. And I shared it with him. I said, Mr. President, I know there are people that say, you know, you said you were the chosen one. And I said, you were. I said, if you're a believing Christian, you understand God's plan for the people who rule and judge over us on this planet in our government.
What do you think, Raymond Jensen?
Pastor Jensen. Former pastor. I think that it's really, really unfortunate when comments such as this are made. They are not good for the government, nor are they good for organized religions, particularly those who share a similar spiritual base as Mr. Perry, those who are Christians, for example. And I find troublesome this notion of chosenness, because it is expressed in either one of two ways. Either there is this chosenness of God to government, and so mm-hmm. we should pray for all government leaders and other things, or this chosen one is individualized, and this person is chosen by God to be in this place at this point. And both of those are problematic currently. Because if this chosenness is about government and government being ordained of God, and we should pray and respect and follow our government and our leaders, where was that mindset when Barack Obama was president? It's strangely silent. And in many instances, the very people who are now espousing this chosenness framework for government were very adversarial at other times during government. And if the chosenness is individualized, then I am struggling with why God would believe that his agenda would be advanced by someone who practices the almost exact opposite of everything his word teaches that we should be about. And so the chosenness construct for understanding the presidency of Donald Trump is fatally flawed for me. And finally, Jim, it's not really a religious statement. It's a political one. And I think that we need to understand it in that way.
Well, there isn't much that we know about Jesus that is embodied in Donald Trump.
The very things that he said were important in looking after the poor and the lost and those who are challenged in some way by the vicissitudes of life, that we ought be concerned with them, that we ought be concerned about the foreigner, the widow, that we should be concerned about this segment of the population. And what we see are just a number of policies and practices that are totally contrary to that. Now, I want to be clear. I pray for the leaders of our country, because I think that when there are good decisions made in government, the country, our city, our state's better off. But I don't ascribe to the notion that this individual was touched by God for this particular moment to be president of our country. I don't ascribe to that belief.
Well, John Berry was on this show yesterday, the remarkable writer who gave us Rising Tide. He said sometimes God chooses people to wreak havoc.
I don't know that God chooses people specifically to create havoc. I think that what the word teaches us in a number of examples is that the people and their desires were greater for things that led to havoc than they were for the things that were more consistent with his practices for our life. But I think even inherent in that is a deep mystery that none of us can assert a definite mm-hmm. understanding of. And so for Mr. Perry or anyone else to have this moment of revelation that seems to say, I can speak distinctly about God's intention in this moment, that's a place I'm not comfortable being.
Well, as I was talking with Rhonda Gray a few minutes ago, I was discussing how it takes a special kind of individual to look in the mirror and say, I should be the leader of the free world. It takes an even deeper case of narcissism, or whatever you want to refer to it as, to say, I am the chosen one, but the president himself has said that.
Yeah, and it's... Again, I think we have entered this arena in time when that which would formerly push all kind of lines have just been blurred to such a degree that it's just really a strange time. It's a really difficult time. And as someone who has grown up in a very spiritual background and who has tried to live out the things that I challenged others to live out, it's really troubling to see those who are representatives of a faith that I have attempted to practice live in such a contradictory way.
Well, this is a serious topic, and I'm not making light of it at all, because we're going to see much more of this, especially, let's face it, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee or Michael Bloomberg. They're both of the Jewish tradition, and we just heard Rick Perry talking about Christians. And when you do that, almost by extension, you're saying other people are second-class citizens.
It is this creating of the others that is inherent in the political aspect of this. And the point that I consistently challenge some of my dear friends, and I do mean that sincerely, who ascribe to a different political philosophy, well, it's important to recognize that in making statements of this nature and in this way, you create the other. And so there are these people who are not us. And one of the unfortunate characteristics of this administration and this Congress and so much of our government is that it's about creating these others that we must be against, and that under no circumstances should we be together. And it's a political and divisive tact that has been used for generations ad nauseum.
Donald John Trump, about to be 74 years old. The most obese president we've had since William Howard Taft. Remember, you never see a fat Jesus. Never. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're back with Pastor Raymond Jetson after this quick time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Former state representative and former pastor Raymond Jetson. He was in charge at Star Hill for 23 years. And he is with us to talk about a few things, but Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, has said our president, Donald Trump, is the chosen one, and the president agrees. 877-217-5757. David in Lafayette writes, I recall people thinking about Kennedy, the first Catholic president, as they might think of Sanders or Bloomberg. Wonder if either is even very religious, and does it matter? I don't know that either Bloomberg or Sanders wears their religion on their sleeve, but it used to be a rite of passage that you had to be a Christian and, quote, a born-again Christian to be president, and that's probably still true if you're a Republican. But the president of the United States, I don't know that he goes to church, and do you have to go to church to be a devout Christian, or does it really matter, Raymond Jetson?
And Jim, I continue to repeat myself, and for that I apologize. But I think that it's really important that we understand that this is not spiritual speak, but that this is political speak, that there is. And it is not my intent to question the motivation of Governor Perry. I've never met the man, and he may walk firmly in his faith and meant what he said sincerely on some level. But this creates this dichotomy. Either you believe what we believe or you are the other. And it is consistent with what appears to be the strategy of a large segment of the political, the professional politicians, if you will, where it becomes more important to create a path for my side to win, to create a path for reelection, for me to stay in power. It's more important than that, than creating a country that is that sees things in a more collective way.
And for someone to be, quote, the chosen one, that would mean that most anything they would do would be ordained by God. And Donald Trump himself, another quote from him when he was running in 2016, is that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and his supporters would not vacate him. And I think he's right.
I certainly think that there have been a number of things that have occurred from the moment he uttered those words until today that would cause us to believe that certainly there is a significant segment of this country for which that statement is true. The painful thing, though, Jim, is to see people who are supposed to be representative of the kingdom of God, people who carry messages of hope and care and compassion, to see them espouse political philosophies that are cloaked in religious language. I think it does a disservice to those who are sincere in their faith and who attempt to live it out in on a daily basis.
Do we see this issue over who is more devout? Do we see it played out in the abortion issue?
Well, I think inherent, certainly, in the abortion conversation is my faith is more important than your position or your belief in it. And if you believed what I believe, then you would not do this. But once again, and I guess it's crazy on my part, Jim, to actually want to see consistency in what people say across issues and across time, because some of the people who, once again, who are the most devout in these particular areas and other things that are of significance and important to the well-being of people adopt positions that are totally to the contrary of that.
877-217-5757 is your number. And a listener notes that Raymond Jetson was once representing a neighboring district of Woody Jenkins back in the day when Woody was filing those anti-abortion bills. And Raymond Jetson, you're a pastor, and I'm sure you're not advocating abortion, but if I remember right, you did vote contrary to Mr. Jenkins, did you?
No, I did not.
You did? You
did
not. You voted with it.
I did.
Okay. Well, then, some would say you were consistent, but is it possible to be a good Christian and also to be pro-choice on that issue?
I think, Jim, the short answer to that question is yes, in my opinion. I don't know that it's my job to question the validity of someone's profession of their experience with God.
Stephen in Denham Springs. Stephen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Raymond Jetson. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think Mitt Romney is probably, as far as being in the Senate, is probably the most close to a full Christian, and I'll just leave my comment at that.
And he is a Mormon, which, and by the way, the first candidate to ever attack Romney on his religion was Ted Kennedy, who ran against him for the U.S. Senate in 1994 in Catholic Massachusetts. But Romney, who ran against Barack Obama and lost, is coming across at the age of 73 now. He will be next month as a statesman of sorts. But he's been attacked and censured by the Louisiana GOP. What do you make of that?
I think it's absolutely ludicrous, as do I think some of the comments that I hear coming from those who represent the great state of Louisiana in Congress and in the United States Senate specifically. It is absolutely asinine. We have come to a place where we are calling wrong right and we are calling right wrong. But Mitch Romney, in my opinion, should be commended for standing up for what he believed in. But yet, because it is contrary to the cultic position, then, of course, he gets attacked from every angle.
Dr. Jemison in Southern Heights, you're on with Raymond Jetson. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Dr. Jemison. Raymond Jetson, I really appreciate you and your comments. I find they're very articulate, and I like how you take your time to explain everything, simply because a lot of times, you know, people misunderstand things, but the way you come across is very articulate. One thing I want to add to the conversation, which I'm glad you're having this show, Jim Inkster, very good, is just because in my research, I'm kind of following what you're saying. My research shows that when I did my dissertation, perception is reality to some people, but perception is very subjective. And because it is very subjective, my research shows that perception follows a predictable path.
What about perception becoming reality? Representative Jetson, Pastor Jetson, thank you, Dr. Jemison.
Jim, I think that we are seeing so many things that could have been anticipated by where we are. My only hope is that we would be honest with ourselves as a country, that we would recognize where we are and where some of the paths are leading us. I think what we are seeing is the wholesale abdication of the responsibility for the well-being of the republic on the part of many for strictly political agendas and self-serving political agendas. When we look at people, for example, who were historically adverse, just totally confrontational on the matter of deficits and deficit spending, who now are complicit in a set of practices that has caused us to have trillion-dollar deficits and other mm-hmm. things for strictly political reasons and self-survival, I just think it's a very, very disappointing and very difficult place. And the unfortunate part of it is so much of it is now being wrapped in these religious terms. It's just a crazy time, as I shared with you when I walked in today.
Mitch Taylor writes, as a self-made success, Michael Bloomberg's background has a pro-business appeal that other Democrats seeking the nomination cannot match. While the GOP hammers Sanders, Warren, and others as a disaster for the economy, does your guest, Raymond Jetson, think Bloomberg could be immune to these kind of biased attacks due to his undeniable financial success and a business builder and job creator? Is he a good candidate?
I don't think that there is any candidate who is going to be immune from attack on something. And I am concerned. I find it very interesting that the current tact of the Democratic approach to being to winning to be the Democratic nominee appears to be to destroy any of my adversaries. And I think that in the long run, that becomes very harmful. I think that we'll begin to see what the mettle of Mr. Bloomberg starting this evening, I think, with the debate where he will be on the stage. And I doubt that there will be any aspect of his life that will be beyond scrutiny.
Carol in Donaldsonville. Carol, good morning.
Good morning. To do with the abortion. I feel the same way the caller, his opinion, his views are the same as mine. So the point that no one seems to bring out, is that making abortions illegal doesn't really accomplish anything. It doesn't decrease abortions at all.
Yeah, well, does passing a law stop what people want to do, by the way, of all political stripes?
Yeah, I would agree with you. But, Jim, the significance here, and I think the whole abortion undercurrent to this conversation is important, because the political agenda here of many is to, in fact, make certain that Donald Trump stays in the White House long enough to be able to appoint one, maybe two additional Supreme Court justices.
And the abortion issue is the issue, not an issue, the issue. Thank you, Raymond Jetson, and hopefully we'll have you back in a couple months.
Thank you, my friend.
Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana, and stay tuned.